The views and comments expressed on the Space Show by its guests, callers, and listeners belong to them. The Space Show and its hosts serve only as a platform and are not responsible for others' comments or views. All topics discussed on the Space Show are primarily for educational purposes.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing. Not because they are easy, but
we have main engine start. 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the Space Show with Dr. David Livingston, broadcasting to 7 continents, consistently bringing you quality news and interviews with the best and brightest minds in the new space economy. Here is the founder and host of the Space Show, the man who best articulates the vision of space commercial enterprise, Dr. David Livingston.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to this special Monday morning Space Show program. I am your host, David Livingston. Great to be here for this special program. And thank you very much for tuning in. This is a one-hour special program, so if you do have emails or phone calls that you want to get in, don't wait until the last moment. Our phone number is 1-866-687-7223. And email, of course, drspace, D-R-S-P-A-C-E, at thespaceshow.com. I'm going to abbreviate all our announcements to spend the time talking with Dr. Pat Hines, because it's always interesting to talk with her, as well as to learn about the upcoming Personal Spaceflight Symposium in Las Cruces. So you all know the drill. You've heard all my announcements before. The only thing I do want to point out is that we are partially brought to you by the Secure World Foundation, and they continue to promote cooperative solutions for space security. Check out their own website for a lot more information and their white papers and research, www.swfound.org. And remember, their webinar, which they support that program for us, is today, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., using satellites and space technology to mitigate Earth-based emergencies and disasters. The guest and all the information about it are on both the website newsletter as well as our email newsletter that went out in the mail today. Today's program is a focus with Dr. Pat Hines on the Personal Spaceflight Symposium, which this year is October 15th through the 16th in Las Cruces, New Mexico. The website, www.isp, as in Paul, cs.com. And Dr. Hines has served as the director of the New Mexico Space Grant Consortium since 1998. In 2007, she was appointed director of NASA's Experimental Program to Stimulate Competitive Research Program, known as EPSCoR. And she is also the co-founder, and she's been the chairman of the International Symposium for Personal and Commercial Spaceflight since it was founded, which is, I believe, probably the best or tied for the best spaceflight conference going. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Pat, welcome back. How are you? Are you there? Hello?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I thought I lost you.
I apologize. I was typing, and I wanted to put myself on mute, so yep, I'm here.
How many years have you been doing the symposium? This is number which one?
This is number 10. It's our 10th anniversary, so we are 10 years into this industry, and I was talking to my staff about this the other day. You know, ISPCS is a very good way to keep track of progress in the industry over the last 10 years, and it also is a good archive and historic record of accomplishments that the companies who have participated in ISPCS have made over the last 10 years. So we've had Michael Simpson, who is the CEO of the Secure World Foundation, involved with ISPCS when he was the president of ISU, for example. And Michael is going to be the closer this year. He's great.
Yeah, he is fabulous and really a dedicated person.
He's very well-spoken, and he's got such a mind that it's very wonderful to have him, as well as many of the other wonderful people we have come to the show over the last 10 years. So, yeah, And I'm just looking right now because Michael wrote a children's book. Did you know that?
No, he didn't tell me that. I would have put him on the show for that.
Well, he wrote this a few years ago, and Rockets Fly High by Michael Simpson, a primer for little explorers. The earth is the cradle of the mind. One cannot stay in the cradle forever. And this is by Solosky, who I believe Solosky is the guy who wrote the rocket equation.
Right, at the turn of the last century in Russia.
Yeah. So this this little book is right here. And for all of you parents and grandparents out there, there's some very wonderful books for children that are being written by people in the business these days who do find themselves wanting to read to their grandchildren and read something of substance, so they just go ahead and write the books.
Well, I will have to contact Michael to see if he'll do a show about it.
Oh, do. Please.
So tell us about this year's symposium, and do you have any of the companies from Symposium number one back on the 10th anniversary?
Yes, we do. And we went through our program from 2005. The 2005 symposium was an XPRIZE Cup event. And did you come to the XPRIZE Cup in 2005?
Yeah, I went to all of the XPRIZE Cup events. So, yes, I was there in 2005.
Okay, so the symposium was designed by Bill Gobetz and myself. And Bill and I had been friends for many years, and we decided the best thing we could do to grow this industry was to bring the leadership of the industry together annually. But we didn't talk about annually the first year, because the XPRIZE Cup was such a overwhelming event to put on. What we did, and Peter, I thought Peter Diamandis was going to have a heart attack when we told him we wanted to do yet another space conference. He was apoplectic. I hate space conferences, Pat. I can't stand them. I said, me too. That's why we're going to do it differently, Peter, so relax. And to this day, ISPCS is the, you know, it's almost the anti-conference in so many ways, because it is dense, dense content, but then there is a sense that we build community here, and we're opening up ISPCS 2014 with a 12-minute sneak peek of the Three Astronauts opera. So the culture of our industry is manifest all over ISPCS. There's music, there's art, there's culture, and I'm not saying that there wasn't during the Apollo era, because there was. And just like we're talking about children's books here, there were people like Story Musgrave who were very, very conscientious about writing, photographing, doing art, creating artistic renderings, preserving some of original drawings of some of the technologies. So art has permeated our industry, but this conference is not the conference where you do your presentation and disappear to the golf course. So the speakers, there's 40 of them this year, come, and we're on a 16-acre site at the museum of New Mexico Museum of Farm and Ranch Heritage Museum. So it's a very unusual setting. It's very lovely. And so this conference is meant to be more of an experience where you get to meet the leaders of the industry, you get to see their technologies. We're having three rockets. United Launch Alliance companies bringing three a 40-foot student rocket, two other rockets that students build in collaboration with Ball Aerospace. So we're having cases there, Jacobs, and they have large booths with technologies that they demonstrate, 3D printing, all kinds of things that you can see. But this is much more of a personal event versus those shows that are casts of thousands with people in 30 breakout sessions, and you lose your mind trying to figure out, you know, how do you spend 2 days really well?
By the way, let me back you up, because you did mention Bill Gobitz, and he passed away not too long ago, and it's a big loss, and I think it would be remiss if we didn't mention that, and what a great contributor he was for all of space, and for your event. He's sorely missed. And he sparked the idea for me to start an annual in memoriam show at the end of the year for, you know, how the Academy Awards do all of the people that, so I'm going to start doing that with all of the great, as well as minor people that have left us, that were involved in one way or another of the space world, and I'm going to start promoting it, because I really need everybody out there to either call in or send me their person in a brief one or two lines about them, so I can read about them on the air and pay tribute and respect to their memory.
Well, you know, we do have that going on at ISPCS as well. I mean, people who have attended the show, like Janet Voss, who have left us. She was an astronaut, three or four times shuttle. Three or four missions and station missions. You know, so we, you know, Bill is another one. We do keep track of people who have spoken, who have passed on, and Bill was going to be speaking this year, and I shared his last email to me with members of the Delta Clipper team as we were talking about his memorial service, and it was typical Bill. So, Jess Sponable, who was on the Delta Clipper team with Bill, will be speaking this year. And he'll be mentioning Bill as well within the agenda, because the space plane idea that the DARPA XS-1 is building with some of the original competitors in the cup, as
right.
a matter of fact.
Absolutely.
You know, so the vision of starting out this industry with an event like the XPRIZE and the follow-on XPRIZE Cup, we're doing our part. We're the only XPRIZE Cup event that remains. But we have taken the vision now 10 years, and that's what's good about the digital world that we live in now, that we can keep track and keep good historic record of what's happened in the last 10 years. So ISPCS is a very brief look back, but mostly the look forward. So I love what Bill Gerstenmaier wrote, and if you go to our website, ispcs.com, Bill Gerstenmaier wrote a really great session description of what he feels like talking about. And I don't know if you're on the website.
Yeah, I am. Where would I find it?
Under agenda.
Okay.
So, Bill Gerstenmaier was scheduled to speak last year during the shutdown. This ISPCS happened during the shutdown last year. So we had the double whammy of, you know, sequestration last year and then the government shutdown during our conference. So, right before ISPCS, you know, Bill was our keynote opening speaker last year. And so, sure enough, the shutdown happens, and all of us thought that it was pretty sketchy that they were going to be able to make it out here, even if the government opened up, because you know, you have to get things started again, and having the leaders leave town, you know, even if the shutdown ended right before the conference, they'd still want to stay. So Bill, being the gentleman he is, have you ever met?
Oh, yeah, and I've been to press conferences that he's run as well, so he may or may not remember meeting me, but yeah, I've met him and been around him quite a bit.
The thing about Bill Gerstenmaier is he's never too busy. Never. I mean, when right after the CCTCAP announcement, I wrote him, I wrote Gwen, I wrote Mark Sarangelo, I wrote the guys at Boeing, and I just wanted to tell Gerst that I thought the way the team handled the announcement was really well done. It was respectful, and I'm very glad that we're moving on now. It's very hard on people to let that announcement drag on like it did. It was very hard on a lot of people. But I was grateful that it was over. Well, don't you know, he wrote me back and said, thanks for your support. You know, he's never too busy. You know, so during the shutdown, I was sitting here in my office, and it was the Thursday before the show, and we had to keep in mind the threat of the shutdown was real by then, because it was shut down the week before ISPCS and then the week of ISPCS. So we had Agenda A and Agenda B, and I had determined by that Thursday, Agenda B had to go into place. So we lost 5 government speakers because this is commercial space. We have a dominance of commercial speakers at the show, of course. But some of the panels, like the CCTCAP panel, was being chaired by Phil McAllister. So we had a lot of shuffling around to do, and I got a phone call, and my staff said, Mr. Gerstenmaier's on the phone. I couldn't believe it. It was actually Bill. Of all the things he had to be thinking about, he had, you know, that wonderful part of his nature to call and say, Pat, even if we open up, I can't make it. I know this is a disappointment for you as it is for me, and I apologize. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I can imagine. He's a stand-up guy in all sorts of ways.
And during this whole time where we had this very meaningful competition going on, Bill has this sense of mission, very clearly humble. And so this session description of what his keynote is going to be about, he and I both agree this old space, new space is a false dichotomy. And what he said, now space, accelerating innovation. 1 to the power of 10, because the ISPCS 10th anniversary is, the theme is power of 10. So what is the power that we get by being around for 10 years? There's a lot of synergy that's been created between the government and industry to evolve this concept of commercializing space. And what that really means is that the company takes financial responsibility for the success of the program, and the government is a partner. So in this discussion, Bill said, 1 to the power of 10 is 1. 2 to the power of 10 is more. Never before have the titles of new space and old space been as trivial as they are today. Gerstenmayer discusses how to leverage both strengths and vulnerabilities of the aerospace industry to foster greater collaboration as we reach new powers of 10 together. Over the year, what we've been looking at as we fiercely compete for the business that's out there, not only the government business, but as we fiercely compete to grow the industry, I see it from the standpoint of there's too many space conferences, for example. There's only so much that our speakers and the leaders of the industry can do to speak at all these conferences. So how do we provide value that's demonstrated at these conferences that gives people rationale? Okay, I can leave my business for 2 days, come out and learn something here, meet people I need to meet, and get back to work. So the conference is constantly this balance of what the, you know, space business used to be in the past. And you remember those, David. I'm sure some of your listeners remember the space conferences of the past, right?
Correct. Yeah, of course.
And how would you characterize them, let's say, before the XPRIZE in 2004?
Well, they were of varying sizes depending on which organization put them on, and you heard the presentation, and if they were really small conferences, the presenters were easy to find afterwards if you wanted to talk to them. And if they were really huge conferences, like some of the big AIAA meetings, it might be harder to find some of the people, or they go off with their own cliques and you can't find them. For the person attending, they were primarily pretty passive events, unless you were really able to capitalize on networking, which was questionable depending on which conference you were and what your personality was like. Some had exhibits that were interesting and people that you could talk to, and some didn't. It was hit and miss. Everyone would go away thinking there's way too many of these things. Why do I keep going to them?
And what I've found is when I first started going to, you know, I've been doing this now 25 years, so when I first started going to conferences, mostly I went to NASA conferences, technical conferences, and I saw a spectrum of really well-done technical talks, but the technology was such that it was god-awful boring.
They could be, that's for sure.
Yeah. They would put up slides that you couldn't read, so they were just up there for some reason. But then the discussion would be a lecture, and there was no interest in communicating really to the audience. And I found that insulting. So there was no attempt on the part of so many of the presentations to take into consideration, we can't see what you've got on your slides. I really don't understand how you came to the conclusions you came to. And there was little or no time to have a discussion about it in the room. And then there's another session that you go to, and after a couple of days of stuff like that, I thought, man, am I the only one? And then you look around, and there's all kinds of people at lunch, but then there's nobody in the session rooms of any consequence. What is this? you know, what the heck is going on here? Who are these people that are, you know? So what I discovered over time in analyzing the experience is speakers leave their offices if they have a speaking role in a conference. They submit their paper. You pay for the proceedings once the conference is over. So the point of going to the conference would be to deliver your paper, but not necessarily give information that you could, that required your presence. So then maybe a month after the conference, you get the proceedings. And so the function of going to the conference was more to hit and, you know, get as many sessions figured out, how to get to them, about a topic you might be interested in, listen for 10 minutes, see if there's any there, then wait for the proceedings, and then look through the proceedings to see what's going on with the paper. Inefficient. So what I do at ISPCS is I speak to I invite every speaker. I speak to every single one of them. They have 20 minutes, and the rule 10, 20, 30. If you have a 20-minute talk, no more than 10 slides, 30-point type. And that's your, you know, 10 is your number of slides, 20 minutes talk, 30-point type. And then, I mean, I even said this to Gwen Shotwell, who is very gracious. When I tell her what to do, she's very gracious.
she doesn't hang up on you, right?
No, she's a very nice woman because she understood when, you know, I was hoping to help her understand. Don't bring anything that's on your website. Don't sell from the stage. Tell us something we don't know. Create something specifically for ISPCS that you cannot get anywhere else. Otherwise, don't put it up. Don't give me things on your website that people can find. Don't give me a video that they can find on their own without coming to ISPCS. And if you do, we won't play it. That's the way, you know, that's the way it has to be. And what has happened over the years in speaking to people, you cannot get on my stage unless you talk to me. And we have a discussion about, okay, don't go up there with a bunch of eye charts and put the thing up and say, I know you can't read it. If it cannot be read at the back row of the symposium room, and we bring in the same people who do the space symposium, we bring them from Colorado to do our audiovisual stuff, so we know what the room needs so people can see the slides. And that's the drill. If the audience won't be able to read it, we don't put it up. And my staff is the graphics people. My staff runs the graphics. And they have strict instructions. If you cannot read it in the back row, it ain't going up. So pay attention when I tell you what to do. So, I mean, Miss Charm over here, right?
Yeah.
But it's that it is... The intent is to communicate and have a dialogue. So we have time bouncers. They are the master moderators of the show. So that people have a 20-minute talk, and if you have a 20-minute keynote, and then 10 minutes to dialogue with the audience, and then they can't go anywhere, really. They're on a 16-acre site, and it's beautiful, so they don't. People hang around. And they stay there, and we, as you know, we feed and water them like crazy.
Yeah, so, too good, that's right.
Right, there's that. But the point is really to have an experience where you meet people, you learn things, and then there's the audience interaction with each other. And they, Jeff Grayson said, this is it's not too small, not too large, just right. So that's the deal there. And then you have to have that speaker who is willing to stay on topic. So we're examining power this year. Multiple kinds of power. So I'm going to ask you a question here. My first speaker of the day after the Three Astronaut Opera. I know opera in the morning, right?
As long as it's not Wagner. You're talking to the wrong guy. I happen to love opera, so.
And
the Ring Cycle is one of my favorites. So.
Okay, well, this one was written by Umberto Eco. Have you ever heard of him?
No, I have not. I don't think I've heard of him.
He's the guy who wrote the book, The Naming of the Rose.
Okay.
And he wrote this opera in the 60s. And, you know, that Gravity, if you watch the movie Gravity, some of the storylines in Gravity were taken from this book. Isn't that interesting?
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway, my first keynote speaker is George Sowers. Do you know Dr. Sowers?
Yeah, he's been on the show several times. He's a good, I like him very much. He's a good guest.
He's also, his first degree was in philosophy. Pretty unusual, don't you think?
Yeah, and if I knew that, I totally let it skip over me, so.
I don't think too many people know that about George.
I mean, it would have to be on his bio that he furnished me, so I don't remember.
No, doubt it. He wrote a book, and it's called The Philosophy for the Future. And it's in this book that he, you know, Nietzsche was somebody that Wagner used for some of his poetry in the Three Rings cycle. And so George has examined power in his book that really helped me have the discussion I wanted to have about the responsibility that private industry has asked to take on in supplying, for example, human commercial space transportation to the International Space Station. With that comes responsibility. If we want to take on the power, not only the physical power to actually master the technologies, but also the implications commercial industry evolving the power to take humans and grow a much larger, more open transportation system. So George is willing to discuss that relationship, and that's really an important part of the dialogue that opens ISPCS as we started out with this opera. Humans take on great endeavors, but at the bottom of it all is we have to look at that. What is the effect that we are going to create by asking for all of this power, by taking all of this power into the hands of private industry with government as a partner? What is going to be the effect of that? And can we responsibly, and this is, you know, United Launch Alliance vice president here, this is a man who has spent many years looking at the strategic impact and how do you justify a country's will to power and what is that as humans, do we have the right to want to take the power that we can get from controlling the physical universe? Do we have the right to actually use that power the way we've been using it? And so what George is talking about in his keynote is that power is defined as power to or capability, and it is optimistic and affirming. So he looks at power as the ability to do build, to create. And it's not the power to be superior over, even though we have physical mastery. So this idea that now we are looking at ourselves and understanding from the basis of what is the right for human to have mastery over the physical universe, what do we do with that power? So he's discussing that. And so in terms of being the curator of the show, it is my job to come up with these themes and then ask my speakers, our speakers, to address the theme. And address the theme in many ways, so that we have the ability as an industry, because it's a small industry yet, to speak knowledgeably about what it is we're attempting to accomplish. How are we going to be doing that responsibly? And then, as we go forward, you know, we're looking at, and you've had Bob Bigelow on the show.
Yeah, one time I've had him on, at least once. Love to get him again.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know how Bob is. He's nose to the grindstone right now. He is. And that is a man that would much rather be more busy than he can stand. And so he's very busy, and when he speaks, like when he speaks at ISPTS, he's very conscientious about creating his talk, and he writes it word for word. He doesn't just think he's that entertaining and he's going to get up on the stage and start yammering. He writes his talk and delivers it down to the words. So he's very, very contemplative. So in the big scheme of things, there's people like Bob who say, you know, we have to be aware of a long-term commitment to having humans living and working off Earth. And that commitment cannot be held by Congress. If we put it in the hands of Congress, we won't get it accomplished. Because the nature of a representative democracy is to be aware that as the democracy is a dynamic system, it changes. So Congress has to be responsive to the environment as it exists. So does the president. So industry can have long-term vision. Because you said our competitors, look at the Chinese. They have a very long-term vision. So we need to figure out ways to look at what we choose to be as a nation. What is the function of having technical superiority if we are not going to use it? And if we are going to use it, how? We have to answer those questions now. We have to keep answering them. And we have to have better information than, no offense to CNN, but I don't consider them a great source for contemplative, well-thought-out argument.
I think you'll get a lot of seconds for that.
So the space business has a higher calling in that sense, that it is something that has consequences. We have to be able to discuss those consequences. And so I brought, for example, Undersecretary of Defense Lavarro here. So Doug Lavarro will also be speaking. So we have multiple ways to examine power. And I take my work very seriously, but I don't take myself very seriously. So I just think it's a riot that I get to tell a Secretary of Defense, so listen. Here's the deal. And he took it very well. You know, he agreed. He's a fan, but he also understood the context that I'm talking about and the examination we're trying to have. And he was willing to talk about it. And I really appreciate that. So, his talk, as you'll see,
I saw him on the agenda. So where space and military space collide or something like that.
Yes. Yes. And he's looking at that from the standpoint of powerful forces when they collide. What is the result? And to have the Secretary of Defense there, and I, if you'll notice on the agenda, it's no accident that I put SpaceX, who's suing the Air Force, in the agenda, and George Sowers in the agenda, all together, for a reason. This is the United States. We operate under the rule of law, and these guys and companies have the right to, if they feel they need redress, to do it under the rule of law and have this dialogue out in public as well as in private. What do you need to say to each other? What questions might the audience want to ask of these principals in these companies? These are the prime people that if you don't want to talk about it, that's your call. If you do, know this agenda is no mistake. These people are put in the agenda within the same time frame for a reason. If they don't address it in the talks, the audience can ask. So that is the intent of also constructing a dialogue, which is what a symposium is supposed to be doing. It is a constructed dialogue, and this dialogue is examining a construct of power from multiple angles, but it's the intellectuals' conference in the sense that if you want to have an intellectual discussion, you're going to get it. And no matter who you talk to, there will be somebody there that will challenge your ability to connect the dots, because there are multiple layers that this symposium is constructed on. So that's what we're doing. The better the information, the better the decision. So it's my job to get the best speakers on these topics that I can and make it multiple layers. So small companies, large companies, multiple departments within the government. So we have Department of Commerce there, which is, Ray Garcia is a phenomenal asset in export control that we have here. And in my discussion with him, he's on day two. In my discussion with him, I learned that he has had experience with satellites, launch systems, and he's now in export control, but he's I have to look at his bio again, what else he did before he got here. He's worked all over the world, and when we were talking, he said, you know what would be really helpful for me, Pat, in preparing my talk, is if I knew in the other export control sessions that you had, because I had talked to one of his colleagues, and I think it was Bob Ward, that said, yeah, I went to that thing. It was great. It's really an amazing show. It's really good. He said, I would really like to know what the questions from the audience were. And I said, oh, we capture all the questions from the audience because we ask for them to be in writing. Then some of the questions are posed from the floor, and we videotape the conference, so those sessions are online. But then we write all of the questions up from the audience, and we post them to the website so that the government people in particular can go back to their bosses and tell them, these are the questions we got asked. We didn't answer them all, but this is what people are wondering about right now. So from that standpoint, we have a lot of different services that we provide to our audience for their future reference. And, videotaping the sessions and eventually putting them up on the website is also part of the service that we provide. So that was a lot. Big mouthful there.
So this conference is, I'm going to use the word radical, but it's radically different than your traditional aerospace conference, be it SmallSat or AIAA, which I know you attend, or ISDC, or New Space in Silicon Valley, or Mars Society, or Explore Mars in D.C. Take your pick. This is really a very different perspective and appreciation for developing commercial space, private space, and in addition, what NASA, traditional space, and even the Defense Department do, and how their synergisms work together, or hopefully will work together.
Yeah.
So, listeners, if you attend, then you don't get this information anyplace else that I know of, I other than through this conference, unless you archive the segments and make it available by video after the conference.
Right. Yeah. And that's what happens. You get the content, and you don't get the interaction with the people and the networking, and you don't get the experience, the enrichment, but it's something. People are busy. And coming out to New Mexico is intentionally for our, you know, because people have asked me to move this show.
Because it's easier to get to format.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that would spoil it, I think.
It would change it, certainly.
It would put a whole different thing on it, because the people that go there are really dedicated.
Yes, they're knowledgeable. Some people have come 8, 9, 10 times. Some people have been there all 10 years. They are dedicated, but what they're getting is they're constructing knowledge. Clay Morey said, you know, when I asked him about why you keep sponsoring, why you keep coming, because he's busy. You know, he's got a Soyuz launch that he's got to be. He's got to leave my show Wednesday afternoon to go take care of the customers for that. He said, I don't like being surprised. I learn stuff there. And I don't like surprises. So that's why I come. It's a very good use of my time. And so when I hear things like that, and then I asked him, too, about, do you think I should move the show? 'Cause it takes me to turn that place into a conference center. It's a lot of work and expensive. And I said, no, absolutely not. No, you need to be different from the standpoint of all the other conferences that we could be anywhere, in any hotel or any conference center with a cast, you know, running around in circles and having private meetings. Sometimes I never even go to the show, Pat. It's just people are in town and I have private meetings. So it's not even, I don't even attend the conference. It's just I meet with people because they're there, and I don't even go to the content. You know, and you've heard that, I'm sure, Dave.
Well, I've done that a million times. I mean, meeting the people, for me, has many times been more important than listening to the content. And it's exactly what you described. They'll put a PowerPoint up. They'll read the damn slides to us as if we can't read them ourselves. Mm-hmm. They're technically boring. There's 5 minutes at most, or 10 minutes, maybe, that you can ask a couple of questions, and that's for everybody in the room. And, you know, that's it. So I find talking to people outside and meeting people and going into the exhibit hall and stuff like that to be far more productive than... and by the way, you can get the proceedings and see their PowerPoints. I don't need to have somebody read it to me.
Yeah.
So, which is also a problem I have with guests using PowerPoints on the space show. They think that they're going to just read 44 slides in 90 minutes, and it's, no, you're not going to do that. I had one guy give me 110 slides for a 90-minute show, and he pared it down to 90, and he thought that was a big paring down. And I just said, just talk about what you're talking about. Don't try to read the slides. Can't you just talk about it to us and discuss it? And if we have to look at a slide, tell us to go look at the diagram on number 33 or whatever. But it's an uphill battle.
I definitely get it. And there was a speaker this year that I suggested after I talked to him, I said, you know, I think we both agree this is not a fit for you.
How do you take that?
He was relieved because he's just not a speaker. He didn't want to go. He didn't want to do it. And it was, I said, you know, the audience is going to feel that. Let's just agree this is not the best fit for either one of us. And we agree that if we ever meet in public, we'll be happy that we both told the truth. Said, don't do it. And he was very relieved. I had to search around for somebody that would fit within this what we're trying to accomplish still. But that's part of the thing about growing up. You have to learn, you know, there's some times in life where if you're not willing to do it, it's okay to say, nah.
And that's not for me.
Yeah, and it's okay for you to say, here's the deal. This is a win-win or no deal type of situation. Either you do it the way I need it done because here's why, or let's agree that it's not a fit for both of us, and therefore no deal.
Pat, there'll be people listening that want to come but haven't been to Las Cruces or anything like that. So tell them how they get there, and is there a main conference hotel? Is there still room available?
Yes,
or
yes.
Go over that kind of stuff real quickly with us.
The conference is October 15th and 16th. You fly into El Paso, Texas, and it's a 37-mile drive from the airport. Reserve your car, because there's plenty going on here that you will have to reserve your car.
There's no shuttle bus or anything like that.
There is a shuttle, and all of that's on the website, ispcs.com. All of it's on the website. There is a conference hotel. There is still room available at the hotel. And the hotel is about a 12-minute drive from the conference, and the shuttle at the hotel will also take you to the conference. If you come on the Las Cruces shuttle, it will drop you directly at the hotel, and then you can take the hotel shuttle to the conference. And then there's lots of people going to the conference, and they drive each other. And everything you need is on the site, all the food, and we have baristas there and the chocolate lady and all kinds of wonderful foods from the valley. So hot breakfast, hot lunch, and breaks and snacks all day long. And you are right near the university, so there's all, you know, you're in a city that is 100,000 plus, so it's not like you're isolated. But this farm and ranch museum is a great place to just have this beautiful view of the Rocky Mountains and to have everything you need right there. Wi-Fi is there. And when you sit outside, it's beautiful weather, so it's lovely. But we have, if you're sitting out in the main portal, the conference is piped into the portal, so you can sit there and do your email and still hear what's going on. We have a large exhibit hall. And so there's a lot going on, but you still have, we have a silent auction, you know, we have student posters, we have a lot happening. So it's a pretty dynamic environment. So that's the opening reception is sponsored by the AIAA, and that starts at 7 o'clock at night because we realize people just come in late. And so it's a pretty hefty reception with all everything is, once you buy your ticket, you're in, and everything is covered. except things that you want to buy, like extra coffee or extra chocolates that the chocolate lady brings for sale. You know, those things, silent auction items. But, yeah, so it's full on for 2 days. And then Friday, there's a tour of Spaceport America. Spaceship 2 is out. The full-scale model of Spaceship 2 is out now on the apron. It's Spaceport America. So Spaceport America hosts our tour. And so that's on Friday. That's extra. That's not part of the conference. That's a service we provide in case people want to come. That's a tour that's limited to 55 people. So, yeah, that's – what else do you think I should tell them, Dave?
The networking is superb, probably better than almost anything I've ever experienced. And I guess the it's not just the networking, Pat, it's the opportunity to really sit down and talk with these people who are on the panels and speaking. So a lot of these people I met through the symposium and are regulars on the space show now.
Well, hopefully you'll come back. Maybe next year you can get out here. And once you're starting to feel a little bit better, I hope that you continue to improve. And I'm glad to hear that you're doing so much better.
Yeah, the listeners know that I had the AFib and cardiac ablation issue. I missed a couple of shows as a result of that.
Yeah.
I have talked about it on the air.
Okay.
So I'll be thrilled to get off of the rest of this damn medication. So hopefully that happens next week or the week after.
I'll
be back. And I'll start traveling more.
And you'll feel better traveling, too.
Yeah, and I can honestly say some of the best experiences and people I've ever been with have been at the symposium. Do you remember Rita Anderson, our good friend?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she was down there for many of those. And, I mean, not only was it informative and knowledge-building and just jam-packed with information, it was really fun.
It was. That's the, yeah. It's supposed to be fun. And I'll just leave you with this, speaking of Bigelow again, and Tim Pickens were there. And there's a team. They're full of mischief, the two of them, the pair of them. So 9 o'clock in the morning, first day of the show, they're inside the commercial space exhibit hall. And Bob says, Pat, I want to fire off the engine. I said, oh, great. You're going to take it out to the amphitheater? No, I want to do it in here. What? What? That's no big deal, Pat. It's just water. You want to fire off an engine inside the commercial space exhibit hall, huh? Okay. Yeah, okay, Bob. I'm going to turn around, walk out the door. Therefore, I have plausible deniability. Just in case the museum director jumps out of his chair straight up in the air and comes and looks around at what the heck happened. But fortunately, it's not that loud, and we got away with it. So there's stuff like that every now and again. It's, yeah.
One more thing I might add is, listeners, there's always after hours with these people, speakers, panel members, at the bar at the Encanto Hotel, which is the conference hotel. And I'm telling you, I know you all have happy hours and things like that at other conferences. It's not really anything like what goes on at this symposium. And the people, again, that you meet, and they let their hair down, so to speak, and it's really informative, and you get the behind-the-scenes information. People talk freely, my experience has been.
Yeah, they're not in the beltway, you know, so it is a little easier to get.
Absolutely, and you make great contacts, and you learn a lot. So there's a lot of reasons to be there, and conference registration is still available, I assume?
That is correct, and we have this year the first time run with Boeing. We have a 5:30 in the morning, get up and go run, start your day, so that run will be stewarded. And the van will pick you up, and this is open to everybody. And there's all kinds of adult beverages and things that are, you know, that's what you get with your registration. So we have people that just sort of plan ahead to run it off.
So this is really jogging and running or walking with Boeing, as the case may be, right?
Yeah, and it's a half-hour run, so it's a very structured thing. You know, we don't care what pace you're running, but, you know, you have to be back in the van so at 6:45 so we can get you up to the hotel and changed and over it so you can have your breakfast.
This is if you survive it. This is new this year, right?
Yeah, this is the first year. Well, John Elbon, who's...
I know him. He's been a guest on the show.
John is such a great man. He told me he got up at 5:30 and ran, and there's no place great to run by the hotel. So I'm a runner, so I said, I got an idea here. So they're sponsoring the run with Boeing, and it should be fun.
Is it on flat land, or where are you going to take everybody?
Yeah, I'm going to take them into a city trail that's lighted because, you know, John wants to go. Gerstenmaier's going to go. There's a lot of people that want to go on the run. And, you know, I'm not going because hair and makeup for me. But, you know, this is starts on a trail, and it's a mile and a half out and a mile and a half back.
So it's a three-mile...
Lit. Yeah, and it's a nice run. It's a relatively flat trail that the city put together, and it's fine. It's not, you know, the Bataan Death March here.
So that... gives me reason to get in shape for next year so I can make a 3-mile run.
I consider my running style loping. I'm a loper, but it's good for me, and so that's what I do.
That's terrific. So hopefully it's a success and you continue it next year so I can join in with everybody.
And you can just walk it, you know. If you get down in the lobby at 5:30, you'll be on the trail by 5:45, and then off the trail somewhere around 6:15 to 6:30, and then everybody in the bus and back to the hotel by 6:45, and then you still have an hour to get ready and come downstairs and get over to the museum so that you'll have your espresso and your hot breakfast burritos, which... We have this catering firm. Their parents have a barbecue place, and they even smoke their own bacon.
Wow.
It's delicious. It's so delicious. Homemade tortillas and the chili, you know, Hatch green chili is being harvested right now. So things are locally sourced here. Food is fabulous. And,
So watch and see. Someone will videotape this run on their cell camera and put it up on YouTube.
Well, I would dope slap that person, whoever it is. It's going to be dark out. It's dark at that time. That's why I need to go someplace where I know, you know, and the running club's going to steward it, so I want to make sure everybody's, you know, gets what
it gets there and gets back, yeah.
And yeah. Yeah, I don't want them out, you know, getting lost. They can't get lost on this one, but...
I think it's a terrific idea. I hope a great success and you do it next year, too.
I hope so. We'll see.
What would be the highlight? If there were one or two points where you think people should come here above everything else, can you look at this incredible agenda and say, these one or two items are the key things for me?
No, because there's 40 speakers. I have spotlight talks, which are 10-minute talks. And they're interspersed among the 30-minute time slots. So the spotlight talks, like Jim Vanderploeg's research, he's the chief medical officer for Virgin.
Right.
His talk on the research that he's done on high-risk patients like yourself who've had strokes and heart attacks, what has training that he's done with the... high-risk patients that are taking NASTAR training. He's monitored their training and the effect of the training months afterwards. He's written a medical paper on this that is attached to the website, or it should be pretty soon. I forget if Jim's already sent it. But these are the things that I think people have fun. They're supposed to be fun. Jane Pointer is going to be speaking 10-minute spotlight talk on... her high-altitude ballooning to the edge of space, for example. And Will Pomerantz is going to be speaking about, and Brett Alexander, you know, their time with the XPRIZE Cup and with the XPRIZE competition itself, you know. So little look back at the past, but look at what Brett Alexander's doing now, and look what Will's doing, you know. So we're blending the past and the future that way. To have those spotlight talks for those guys to talk about what it was like 10 years ago.
What fun. What a great event. So Listeners, if you can do it, I would wholeheartedly recommend it.
Great.
Do you already have the theme for 2015?
Yeah, making a difference. And if for me, this show, unless it makes a difference in the industry, unless we have and we make a difference, there's no sense having another space show. So what is it that we're doing that makes a difference, that justifies all of this talent coming to this show for 2 days? Can we justify this? Have we made a difference? Are we making a difference? Do we need to still come together? We have to answer the question for ourselves.
And that's what you're doing for 2015?
Yes. It's not enough for me to make money or to bring these people together and to get the industry together. It's not enough anymore. We need to make a difference. We have to, you know, money and resources are, human resources and material resources are valuable. Are we making a difference?
Do you have the dates set for 2015?
Yes, we do. And they are not right there. Okay, yes, I do. And I think it's 14-15 next year. Hold on, let me get it. October, yeah, it's 14-15.
Okay.
October 14th and 15th.
Okay, so people can plan ahead.
Yeah, like you.
Absolutely. I want to thank you for coming back on and updating us and telling about it again this year. And congratulations for 10 years, and I'm looking forward to 20.
Thank you.
You have 10 more to go.
That's just swell.
We will talk to you soon, and I know it'll be a great success. I look forward to hearing about it from people.
Thank you, David, and stay well.
You too. Thanks again. Listeners, remember our webinar with Secure World is today at 5 p.m. California time, so tune in to that. You can either listen to it or watch it on the YouTube streaming site, which is in the newsletter. And thanks to Dr. Pat Hines and all of her staff for helping to put this show together, as well as for a great symposium. And everybody, back later. Have a good week. Goodbye from the space show.